Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've DFA'd Hunter Renfrow. You optioned, obviously, MJ Melendez at one point this season. You've brought up all up your top prospect in Jack Caglione. You've done all the player alterations you really can make. At some point in time, if your offense continues to have a historically bad season, and we're in the middle of June, and you keep going through the calendar, at some point, you have to look at your process and you have to look like, hey, do you have the right people in place in terms of developing hitters at the big league level as well? And yeah, Alex Zumwalt, that conversation I think is warranted today. Most teams, if you have playoff expectations, and the Royals certainly did.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, playoff expectations. You're coming off a playoff appearance a year ago, and your offense, who actually, well, you know, we mentioned the moves they made. They went out and traded for Jonathan India. They have since called up their top prospect in the system. Their offense is way, way worse than the season ago. And you have to, I think, look at your hitting coach and your hitting philosophy. And hey, is this the right guy to have in place moving forward?
It's once again, we look at the schedule and we take a look at the team. We're like, oh, you know, they could still go on a run. And I'll just be honest. I know most fans are like, I don't want to hear it today. Just got their ass kicked by the Yankees, etc. I get it. I am not hopeless on this team. Because of the pitching, mostly, admittedly, not because what they've done on the offensive end, but there are still parts of me that are like, yeah, I can still see how it could work. But I'm at the point now that what we're talking about is what you said is normally there's some accountability issues, and we're out of accountability issues on the roster. We're done. There's no more left. Every move they could have made in order to prove the offense from a roster standpoint, we're done there. That's cooked. Outside of just straight up trading for another bat, which we can get to in the 11 o'clock hour, and why that wouldn't probably be the solution either. The outside of that, we're down to like, yeah, hitting coaches or anything else. Look, if they were as bad, this is why I'm saying it's not over for them, right? If they had started as poorly as like the Orioles, well, then we'd be having the conversation. I think some of you guys would have like, what do they do about Q and all the things that I'm not prepared to have just because they got their ass kicked by the Yankees over the last three games and all season long, frankly, on a team of that nature. So like, I'm not ready to have the conversations like those yet. Am I ready to kick around what's going on with the hitting at the major league level and why isn't it more successful? Hell yeah. I'm definitely ready to have those conversations. I'm more than comfortable, at least on that end. So that's fine.
You can't have the type of offense they have this season with some of the guys that they have in this lineup. And I understand I'm not talking about guys that are hitting 7th, 8th, 9th. I'm talking about guys that are expected to count on this season. And go through and tell me during this current grouping of hitting, who is ultimately developed in a strong, strong way. I think the big wins are Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, he's and Michael right? Garcia this year.
This year, Michael Garcia. Yeah. But if we look at a four-year sample size, well, the roster 4 years ago wasn't great. This offense was average last year, right?
But the same players.
The offense was average last year. This year, they're trending historically bad. they were bad the 2 years prior. So it's not like you have like ever seen this offense be at a top 10 level, top 12 level in baseball. So when we're thinking about, hey, what changes have to happen? Yeah, I'm with you. I think the people calling for Matt Quatrero, that's silly. But we know typically when the players have already had potentially changes due to call-ups and send downs throughout the season, then you start looking at, hey, what's going on with the hitting coach? And multiple, it's not just one name, by the way. Alex Zumwalt's just the name that everybody knows. At some point, man, like you got to wonder.
It's actually two guys, him and Saylor.
You got to wonder if you have the right people in place there. I can't remember many times an organization though that has playoff expectations coming off a playoff season can go through an entire season. I know it's June 13th, but go through an entire season and have potentially a historically bad offense and say, oh well, no changes. We're just good. We're gonna just ride this thing out entirely.
It's still weird. It's like I still find it kind of remarkable that their record is as good as it is, considering a glaring issue, right? Not like they have a problem. They have a huge problem that has existed the entire season. Like at no point, right, has this been like, well, maybe like a 1 week stretch, because Vinny Pasquantino's hitting like 390 since May 1st or like 400 since May 15th. Bobby is obviously slowed down a little bit. They've had some guys. Like I heard the stat in the broadcast last night that blew my mind. Ryan Lefevre was on the broadcast, said the Royals have the best batting average in baseball since May 1st. I'm like, what? Am I missing something? How? Like, yeah. So they're
singles,
getting
singles, singles. They need to string five freaking singles together in order to get it done. That's the problem.
That's the Zumwalt part. This idea, this notion that is, I know this team possesses some hitters who have power. Like I am aware of that as a fact. So like at some point I should be expecting that. And look, you and I can joke about
Evan
Drellich's article at the Athletic about how power is down in baseball think that's the reason why the Royals are still dead last in home runs.
No, it doesn't matter because yes, the Athletic did have an article out today saying baseballs are messed up again and power is down by 5 feet or whatever it is. You're still the worst offense or one of the worst offenses, even with that. So like, that's why that doesn't matter for this conversation whatsoever. And you know, we talk about the big wins. You brought up Michael Garcia. Look, congrats to Kyle Isbell. He's having a very nice season, but like if your trophy of development of hitting is your number nine hitter, that's hitting 270. I don't know if that's exactly the showcase you want to put out there. Yeah. Congratulations. You developed a number nine hitter in center field. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, cool. And I'm not like against that or anti the idea that Kyle Isbell's having a nice year, but you're right. I mean, at some point, and that goes back to the same thing, which is like, I still wouldn't trade. Like I would not be trading away players. I don't know how many tweets or messages are like, it's over, pack it up, call it. You know, he's like the fan in Major League standing out in the outfield, turning his hat upside down. I'm just not there, but it doesn't stop the frustration. Look, and I get it. People can call me like karaoke boy as much as they want on social media as an attempt to shame me into burying this team. They're not a team that deserves to be buried and has no redeeming qualities. They have a superstar. They can pitch. They can do a lot of things well. The one thing they can't do seemingly is hit consistently under any circumstance. And so, yeah, you're right. If they've got one major problem and it's been a consistent problem, at what point do you look at guys like, do you need to take a half step back and let Saylor take the reins for a bit? Or, you know, like, how do you want to maneuver this in a way that makes everyone feel like you're attempting new things and attempt to find the offense? And yeah, it's always going to be more in the players than anything else. That's what's going to ride. When Freddie Freeman steps up to the dish last night in a game in which they desperately needed at least one run, and he's standing at the plate and there's a runner on third and there's one out and he can't get him home, it's a problem. There's a runner on third and there's two outs and he can't get him home, it's a problem. And that's been a consistent thing for this team all year.
Yeah, I look, the trade stuff, that all sorts itself out in like 3 or 4 weeks. Like
yeah, someone that just all seems early.
Someone said they should sell now. Like that might be the case for where they end up, but that to me just sorts itself out. Like, you know, I'm not even saying it's wrong to say that they maybe should be sellers, but they don't have to make that determination on June 13th.
The trade
deadline stuff sorts itself out. The team is one game under 500. They're what now, 2.5 or 3 out of a playoff spot. The trade deadline stuff, when we get to July 5th, July 10th, you'll know. Like, we all know it might end up being clear as day that they should sell. It may not. It might be complicated if this team were to get going again. I don't know if they're going to get going again or not. But this notion of like, you need to demand they sell today. That's silly, because that sorts itself out. Like, the conclusion on that is not one you have to make today on June 13th. Nobody else's
Lugo value doesn't change 2 weeks from now. I think that'll work itself out for a team that was in the playoffs last year. And I guess some of this is, I like it. It's actually for good reasons. I like that people care enough to have the expectation, but we're currently treating them like they're the 106 lost teams of my lifetime. And that's just decidedly not what they are. They are not the 2006 Kansas City Royals, and they're getting ready to barrel towards 115 losses. They are far, 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 far better than that. And I'm not saying that there's any signs right now that would suggest they're getting ready to win 6 of 8, but if they won 6 of 8, well, then, you know, they're in the same spot they're in. Half a game back of a playoff spot, all the normal stuff. They'd be there. What are they, 2.5 games out, 2 games out of a playoff spot now? Like, that's not the time to just be like, well, pack it up. Let's wrap the service. But
that's my only thing. And that's all I'm saying. Yes, it is. It wouldn't be the first time in baseball history that a team all of a sudden won 8 of 10 and suddenly the conversation's different in 10 days or so, or whatever. No, that's definitely something.
I can point
out
two teams a year in Major League Baseball for the last 20 years straight. Sure.
For sure. But I just think you cannot continue to say, well, everything's fine with our hitting approach.
No.
And then what's the alteration to that? And what's the evidence suggesting that you should have, frankly, faith that who you have in place, perhaps on the hitting side of things, is going to be able to get them out of this. You know, it's way too early for this, but like, I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't slightly worried that if Jack Caglione doesn't have a home run in 2 weeks, I'll be a little terrified that somehow the power adjustment, like, what the hell is going on here? Not for him. I'm talking about from an organizational standpoint.
I can't believe
it's too early for that. It's too
waiting.
Early for that, but I'm like 2 weeks away if there's not some power all of a sudden happening. Like, all of a sudden, a ground ball hitter? What the hell is going on?
Worked 3 full counts yesterday. Not much to show for it, sadly. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's a frustrating turn. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure we'll talk more about this coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk about it with Jake Eisenberg coming up at 10:30, the Royals play-by-play man as well. Plus U.S. Open update from our guy, Drew. I'm sure he's been practicing all night on that Philly accent. You know,
you ready for it?
He's ready to go.
Not the Philly accent. No,
not the Philly accent.
I gave up on the Philly accent stuff.
But yesterday we took you out to mini camp where Andy Reid spoke, but there were some other players who spoke as well towards the end of the show. We didn't want to carry that live so that we could give you some thoughts on it now. Obviously, one of the biggest players this offseason, as we've gone over and over and over again, gold, is Kingsley Suamataia. There was one clip in particular that stood out to me that should speak to a little bit more confidence you could have in him at guard. He was talking about being excited about moving to guard this year.
Went against one of the best D tackles, and you know, I got some good words from him after the game. So definitely stuff to take in and just to improve on.
What did he say?
Just said, you know, for playing guard my first time, he said I did pretty good. So and I've known him growing up. So
who was it?
Zach Allen. Yep.
So in week 18, he gets his first start at guard in the NFL, where they've made the transition to move him on from tackle. Him talking about, and he talked more about it in length, but just like, the idea that playing guard got him excited to play football again should tell you everything about where his confidence was in playing left tackle. He had lost it. And we just talked about the Royals. If you lose your confidence, man, Gold, that is a really, really, really tough thing to recover from as an NFL player. And when Kingsley got benched, and then he had to come back in for a little bit, and he just kept getting worked over, and they had no choice, he probably just felt like he was never going to be able to play left tackle again. And I think bringing him at guard has given him rejuvenation, a chance to have life again, and a willing to feel, you know, confidence again. And I think that part of it is what makes you feel like there's a good possibility that, like, this is going to be a huge change for him. Here's what he had to say about falling in love again, playing guard.
So that just took my time as a player just to, you know, put my head down and keep working until, you know, I got put in that guard later on in the season and, you know, fell in love with it. So
the fell in love with it is a good sign. I don't see any reason why he can't work at guard still for all the reasons we've mentioned before. But I still think that part of this was a confidence issue. And the idea that he felt like he was just going to get cooked on every single snap made him play even worse.
Well, think about it. You're thrown in there in week one and you're playing in these primetime games and it was horrific. You get pulled from a game That's an embarrassing thing to have happen. And then you know the noise that's out there. And what was the number one conversation the first couple weeks of the season? It was about how he lost his job, right? That he got it benched so quickly after not even really having a training camp battle. It felt like almost they just handed him the job last year at left tackle. They thought he was ready. He obviously wasn't. And so, yeah, I think clearly your confidence is going to be shot at that point in time. And it sounds like the fact that now he sees a new opportunity as a guard in the NFL, that, hey, you can have a very nice career still. That's what he has in front of him. Now, he's got to go and perform. Ultimately, I don't care really what is happening in the offseason. No. Ultimately, he's going to have to go win the job. And I think he's going to, by the way, in camp. And then he is going to have to perform. That's the only way that any of this matters. But yes, I'm with you that I like, and for his sake, that it looks like he's maybe rejuvenated a little bit and has some confidence back and said, all right, I can help this team still. I can still have a very nice career. But none of us are going to know if it's going to work. None of us are going to actually feel confident until we see it for a week or two in the NFL season. Can he hold up even at guard? Plenty of tackles have become guards in the NFL. He will not be the first. He will not be the last.
I will say, though, the do I have to, and I think I do, I have to blindly accept the, hey, man, he's still learning guard stuff for the whole year? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, like, week eight, if he has a bad game.
He's not going to be Joe Tooney week one.
No, yeah. No. But, like, can he be Mike Caliendo? Can he be a competent guard week one? Or do we have to go through, like, kind of the growing pains that we've seen that we would accept as part of tackle or many other players outside of this? I feel like we are going to have to. I think we're going to have to give him a little grace. I don't mean that as a negative necessarily, but I do remind people, I think he can play guard and make that transition. But if he makes a mistake at guard, we are going to have to accept a little bit, like we talk about with wide receiver or safety or anything else. The problem is at offensive line, and this would happen with him at tackle, we don't forgive it immediately. Like, he's a rookie. Screw it, he's getting Mahomes. He's going to get Mahomes killed. And, like, the Chiefs did not forgive it because, like, at a point, he was getting hit so hard, like, there was no choice. How much leeway, if he wins a job out of camp, will he get, you know? That's really the question for me a lot of times is how much leeway will he be given if he's the guy who wins the job? He's got to be the favorite, though, right? He's got to be the favorite.
Yes,
to win
I think
the
he's going to win the job.
Even though Mike Caliendo started for this team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
7 games, 8 games.
When Tooney went over to left tackle.
Yeah.
No, I assume Kingsley will end up winning the left guard job. Will he retain that all year? And that's definitely not a 100% thing because we just saw what happened. But guard transitioning from tackle, that really does happen all the time in the NFL.
I still wonder, though, is there any, and maybe this is just based on how camp goes, but if Josh Simmons is able to go, Do they consider trying Jalen Moore at guard and just seeing if Kingsley can beat him out then too?
Because
you're paying
don't think
him.
So.
Obviously, you don't want to pay the guy to not play. But
I think it's more likely he could halfway through the season steal Juwan Taylor's job than he switches to guard. He's just at no point been a guard. I don't think. Like, I'd have to look again, but I mean, at any point has he been a...
I mean, was Kingsley a guard in college at all? I can't remember.
No, but like...
The difference is one guy's career is over if he's not a guard. The difference is Kingsley, if the guard thing doesn't work, you're done. Jalen Moore has played adequate enough left tackle. Now, the question is, can he do it full time? But in terms of the question is not whether Jalen Moore is capable. Like, Kingsley, after 2 games, it was obvious he cannot play left tackle in the NFL.
I'm just saying, is Jalen Moore, though he's never played guard, potentially be a better option at guard than Kingsley even?
Maybe, but you don't want to give up the guy taking the reps on the outside if that's a real possibility, in my opinion. So, like, I wouldn't risk it, even though he's making good money. He's not making, and this is goes back to the thing, he's making, what, $10 million a year, $12 million a year? I'm not overly concerned about, I guess, that part of it. I'm not saying he can't or you wouldn't entertain it to try to get the same best guys out there. But Jalen Moore, to his credit, has been a career backup pretty much anyway. Like, he only ended up at tackle last year because Trent Williams got in there. So, like, I don't think they're long-term play. That's why they always brought in Simmons anyway. It's like Moore wasn't a starter initially. They're trying to try him at starter, obviously, because he did it last year. But, like, if he's a backup tackle again, I don't know. That's what he's been. So, like, I don't need him at guard, I guess, in order to make it work.
All right, let's get to a U.S. Open leaderboard update over at Oakmont.
All right, so round two is officially underway. For some reason, it's not on USA Network. They got something else on the TV, which is very annoying. But
what else is USA Network airing on a Friday at 10:30?
The TV show 911. But okay. Anyways, it says USA Network. You can't watch it on there. It's only Peacock right now, unfortunately. But anyways, J.J. Spahn still leading. Hasn't teed off yet. Tees off in about an hour and a half. Tristan Lawrence, same for him. Victor Hovland had at one point gotten up to the solo second at minus three. He's now at minus one. He's 200 for the day, 100 for the tournament. Fell off a little bit. He's through 11. Some other guys that started out a little bit earlier, Colin Morikawa, your guy, from what I understand.
Yep.
Gold is plus one for the tournament, plus one for the day. Still has him at tied for 16, though, because there's a number of other players who are really having a tough go of it. Scotty Scheffler, plus one on the day through 11. He's plus four.
Surprising.
Projected cut is at plus four right now. That's probably going to change. It's probably going to be six, seven, or eight by the time the day is done. Jordan Spieth, really good round yesterday, even par, five over today through 11 holes. So he's five over for the tournament on the outside of the cut line. There's a number of guys that haven't started yet. Scotty, one of those few big names that has. There's some others who are going to start creeping in a little bit more. Brooks Koepka had a really good day. John Rahm was solid. John Rahm is on the golf course currently. Not a good day, though, for him. Plus five currently on the day through 11, plus four for the tournament. It seems like things are getting a little more shaky. It's a little bit tougher out there condition-wise.
Does it what's the projected cut? It's very early.
Currently is plus four.
Okay, you said plus four. Okay.
But I think it's going to get up to six or seven by the time.
Based on the bogeys that are occurring.
By the time the show ends, I bet you the cut is not plus four. It's probably higher than that.
As of right now, Sam Burns is the co-favorite, along with J.J. Spahn, obviously, who shot the 66.
Sam Burns is four over on the day. He's one of the few that's actually tearing things up.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was like, is he good?
I mean, yeah, for Sam Burns is a guy that's won.
He's got a Corn Ferry Tour win.
So Drew could do the same
thing.
He's
got five PGA wins, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sam Burns
has... He's 22nd in the world.
Sam Burns is one of the better players in the world. He hasn't...
But his best
for that
finish is
yet.
9th in a major, 19th in the PGA, 31st in the Open, and 29th in the Masters. 9th in the U.S. Open last year. Yeah, so maybe this is just his tournament.
He's been in the conversation, just hasn't been in the running like that for contention. Unlike right now. Brooks Koepka, by the way, even for the tournament, plus two on the day through 12.
Text line says Drew Nixon, 8-under.
No, that would not be me.
No, you'd be that guy who started the course like double albatross or whatever.
There was a guy that
that's probably right.
Ooh, I found somebody who one-upped him. George Dwangmini.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Hasn't had a par yet on his scorecard, nor a birdie, nor an eagle.
Wait, like today?
How many holes? Oh. He went double bogey, 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 triple bogey, bogey, bogey.
It's a hell of a day.
That's he shot an 86 yesterday.
That's tough for George, man.
I gotta say, I don't think George is going to make the cut.
No.
He is plus 24 for the tournament right now.
In terms of big names who are struggling, the one that stands out is Justin Thomas and Minwoo Lee. Both of those got Shane Lowry also was really bad yesterday.
I know they're pros and they're way better than me, but the idea that there's
Justin Thomas
at the bottom,
plus 10 on the tournament right now.
The idea, Gold, that there's a guy at the bottom of the standings, Will Chandler, who is 12 over through 14 holes today. Like, damn.
He was the guy that started out. He started double quad. Was how Will Chandler started out.
I'm going to golf on Saturday. That's how I plan on doing it. Double quad. That feels like my normal round.
If you actually in the first three holes do better than double quad, you should take a picture.
Just as good as a pro.
And let us know.
Just as good as a pro.
That's the U.S. Open leaderboard update. We'll get another one next hour. Up next, we get right back into the Royals. Jake Eisenberg, of course, you'll hear him throughout the weekend broadcasting the Royals and A's series as they continue this homestand, trying to find a way to, win number one at this point in time. Jake Eisenberg joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, we're just getting started here on a Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll get to an anonymous players-only survey that The Athletic did. Kind of interesting, including their favorite player to watch in the big leagues, according to their peers. Kind of interesting stuff. But let's go out and welcome in Jake Eisenberg. You'll hear him throughout the weekend as the Royals continue this homestand, taking on the Oakland, I guess not Oakland Athletics, Sacramento A's, the A's, the Vegas A's, whatever they are these days, out at Kauffman Stadium. Jake Eisenberg with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Have you accidentally called them the Oakland A's, or will you this weekend?
Will I this weekend? Maybe. Have I? No. You've got to put a dollar in our jar, by the way. I think we're going to have a jar in the booth and see how many times it happens. Look, admittedly, it's going to be a little bit easier for me than it is for Denny, who's been calling them the Oakland Athletics for, you know, over 50 years now, and probably a little bit easier for me than Stu, who's been doing it a lot longer than I have. You may or may not have noticed, I tend to say the team's nickname
on the air
almost exclusively. Part of that reason is, like, I think we as fans, like, you know, if you're an Oakland A's fan or were an Oakland A's fan, did you ever say, hey, we're going to the Oakland game tonight? Probably not. You said we're going to the A's game tonight. And so I prefer to use the team nicknames instead of the cities more often than not, just because I think that's what we do as fans regularly.
Jake, last night, obviously the Royals end up getting swept by the Yankees. Kind of a similar story for a big chunk of the year right now. I don't know. We're going to talk more about it at 11, but can you have the yips as a team with runners in scoring position? I heard Ryan and you both say the same thing, which is they've got the best batting average in baseball since May 1st. It is not equaling runs. So, like, at what point the lack of power, the lack of runners in scoring position, like, can you have the team yips, I guess, based on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. And I mean, I'll point out from the batting average perspective, I've been focusing in not just necessarily since May 1st, but since this lineup changed on June 3rd when Jack Caglione got called up. And since the lineup changed, since it became India, Witt, Garcia, Pasquantino, Salvi, you know, Cags, and whoever's on down 7, 8, 9, I mean, the Royals are batting .280, which is the best in baseball since June 3rd. That just has not equated to runs, because also since June 3rd, the team sitting 194 with runners in scoring position. And I think we all thought in St. Louis, I mean, we saw this team go 11 for 33 with runners in scoring position. It looked like, okay, you know, the tide has turned. The corner, we've come around the corner. But then now the last two series, 3 for 22 with risk against the White Sox, 0 for 17 against the Yankees. I don't know if there's such a thing as team yips. I will point to what Vinny Pasquantino said last night. He said, quote, I think it is actually becoming a weight, you know, referencing, you know, wanting to come through with guys and runners in scoring position. Even though it's such a volatile stat and it is so dependent on situation and timing and pitching and inning and score, there is, you know, data that backs up the fact that the Royals are great when there are not runners in scoring position and have really struggled when there are runners in scoring position. And even if you stick to your processes, the results show that there is a big difference.
Jake, I think one of the frustrations, what makes it more frustrating for some fans, is that Hey, this organization throughout this year has gone and pretty much exercised just about every internal organization move with players that they could. We can talk about external options maybe in a few weeks, depending on the position they're in. But, I mean, they've DFA'd some guys. They've optioned some guys. They've called up Rave and Lofton. They've called up their top prospect in Caglione. I think that adds to is like I feel like they've exhausted all their internal options.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there is still one internal option, and that is if MJ Melendez can figure it out in AAA. He's been hitting better lately. If he can come back up, maybe that's your kind of last internal option before looking externally. I will say that, at least personally, I've really liked what we've seen from John Rave and from Nick Lofton and from Drew Waters, who started the season in AAA. And Jack Caglione, I think, has been pretty solid, you know, given the expectations. Sure, he has not hit a home run yet, but you can see that that's coming. And I actually thought, you know, even though he went down looking a couple of times last night, I thought that the strike three call in the fifth inning, I thought that pitch could have easily been called ball four. I saw the takes from him seemed pretty confident. They weren't takes on pitches he seemed to be fooled by. They were takes on pitches he was pretty convinced by, with the exception of the fastball that ended the game yesterday. I think that might have been a situation where he was looking for that Devin Williams changeup and didn't. And, you know, when the pitch comes in that much faster, it catches you off guard a little bit, maybe more than you might expect. But I think the guys they brought up internally have been solid. I'm not also sure that those guys should have ever necessarily been looked at to be saviors of an offense. It's a collective group. And so I think when you look at the group collectively and you look at the top five in that lineup, India, Witt, Garcia, Pasquantino, Perez, individually, it seems like they have turned corners just at slightly different times. You know, India's hot right now, but Bobby's cooled off a little bit. Mikel's cooled off a little bit. Vinny's hot as he's been all season. Salvia's ebbed and flowed, where he goes on these really scorching hot streaks, but then, you know, they're ice cold and it hasn't all clicked at the same time. This is something that, you know, Ryan and Q and Denny were talking about yesterday, how clusters of hitters just haven't all clicked at the same time.
When you look at the pitching staff, we now know that Cole Reagans obviously is heading to the IL. How do you, I mean, obviously they don't have an answer yet for the length of time in which he's going to miss, but how do you think that Lorenzen and Noah Cameron and those guys can cover enough to make do? Do you have to look further into the minors? Like, does this become a trade thing? Like, all those questions, right? How do you cover the loss of Cole Reagans for now?
Yeah, and I think it depends on what your level of expectation is in terms of cover the loss of Cole Reagans. I mean, I think it's interesting. You know, this pitching staff has been so good all season, but if you dig beneath the surface just a little bit and you look at this recent stretch of games where the Royals went from 8 games above 500 to now a game below 500, the pitching has taken a step back from the otherworldly performance we saw at the beginning of the season too. You know, since May 10th, it's a 4.21 ERA. That's a 4.12 ERA from the starters since May 10th. That's when this streak started. That's when the 7-game winning streak ended. And so the pitching has come back down to earth and become a little bit more league average, while the offense has stayed, you know, in its ebb and flow, more struggling with runners in scoring position state. And that's a really difficult combination to overcome. Can Lorenzen and Noah Cameron, you know, pick up the slack or get you close to what Cole Reagans, you know, would give you and what Reagans was giving you at the beginning of the season? Sure, maybe. As far as the depth that the Royals have pitching-wise, it's going to be tested a little bit more than they probably expected. I'm sure the Royals expected maybe for Kyle Wright to be a little bit closer to being back, and he certainly could be an option, you know, if there needs to be an option. I'm sure the Royals were hoping that Alec Marsh would be back on the mound by this point, but he's been sidelined with that shoulder impingement since the end of spring training. I believe Rich Hill has an opt-out in a couple of days from his contract, and, you know, I think that speaks to it too. You know, who would have thought we'd be talking about Rich Hill as a possible depth option, you know, a month ago when this team was above 500 and pitching lights out. So as far as the depth concerns, yeah, the depth has been tested in a way that I'm not sure anyone really expected.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. You've been in that clubhouse throughout the season. You've been around these guys for a couple of years now. When you see what's been going on offensively, Cody kind of asked you just about, hey, is yips a thing or mental strain when it comes to running runners in scoring position? But in terms of, you know, hey, who's the guy that can fire up this team that can get them out of this? Whether I'm not even just talking about when Jazz Chisholm says something. I'm talking about truly, hey, when things aren't going well, who's the guy that can get the team together and rally? Who do they have that type of voice in that clubhouse?
Yeah, the answer is Salvi. You know, I've been seeing, you know, people wanting this team to have more fire or wanting to see more fire, but I think maybe they're forgetting the kind of competitor that Salvador Perez is and has been over the course of his Royals career. It's not as if he's sitting quietly in the dugout, you know, down toward the third base side while this is happening. It's not as if he's sitting quietly in the clubhouse while this is going on. Sure, he leads by example, but he's also the vocal leader and captain of this team for a reason, and certainly brings that competitive fire. And I think we see it also from Vinny Pasquantino. You know, he's you know, giving you the blunt quotes post game about how much this last series sucked. And if you think he's alone in feeling that, then you're dead wrong. He might be the only one that's coming out and saying it in as stark terms as he is. But that's definitely the feeling within the clubhouse too, that yeah, this last series, you know, this is the team that beat you in the postseason last year. You wanted to make a statement against them this season, and ultimately they swept you twice, and that sucks, and there's no way around that. But as far as the competitive fire, as far as someone that can really, you know, build a fire under this team and will this team forward, it's Salvador Perez. It has always been Salvador Perez, and I think sometimes we forget that Salvi has that C on his chest for a pretty darn good reason.
What is the clubhouse atmosphere? You're around it every single day. I'm always kind of curious of that. You can sense when a team's kind of like, you mentioned Vinny said, hey, it's starting to feel that way. Is the energy still where it was a couple of weeks ago when this team was playing a little bit better?
That's a good question. I mean, I think one of the hallmarks of this team over the last couple of years, and I think this trickles down from the top with Q, is that I think this team, for better, and you can argue for worse, but I think it's for better, is that they're a pretty even-keeled team. And yes, even though yesterday's 1-0 loss really sucked, and the day before the 6-3 loss really sucked, and same goes for the 10-2 loss or whatever it was on the series opener, I think these guys are really good at turning the page, at least in the clubhouse. You know, how it looks in the batting cages or in areas that, you know, media is not privy to, who knows. But at least in the clubhouse, the vibe that I get is that, you know, these guys are trying to win the game today, and they are striving and working toward winning the game today. And you don't see it necessarily carrying over from the day before. You don't see anything sullen after a loss or anything, you know, over the top exuberant after a win. I think that happens to be a hallmark of good and successful teams, that you can turn the page one way or another from a win or a loss. I think, look, that's something that I had the chance to talk to George Brett a little bit yesterday. He and Bo Jackson were both in the game yesterday. I had a chance to talk with them a little bit beforehand. And I asked George about, you know, carrying over, you know, the stinging feelings after a loss and the stinging feelings after a win. And he said, yeah, you feel a little bit better after a win, but after a loss, once you leave the clubhouse, that's in the rear view. And that's truly how he felt over the course of his career, even, you know, in those losses against the Yankees in the 70s. Certainly those stung maybe a little bit more because it was the playoffs, but there's a part of being a professional athlete and a Major League Baseball player where you're doing this every single day that you've got to turn the page. And I think that's something this clubhouse does really well.
Know the guys in the clubhouse have to turn the page, but you know, when fans look at the way this team is playing, how big is this series? I feel like every week we ask you, hey, this feels like a really big series this weekend. And given the way they're playing, given the quick drop now all of a sudden from being 8 games above .500 to where they sit today, where are you at with this team heading into a series against the A's?
Yeah, I don't think it's unfair to say that, you know, looking at game 70 of the season tonight, that the Royals definitely didn't want to be a game below .500. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some extra energy in that clubhouse today and this weekend to go out against the A's and not just win tonight, but win tomorrow and win Sunday and sweep this weekend and really make a statement that this is not a team that's going to, you know, roll over and kind of 500 their way through this summer, that this is a team that has gotten knocked down but can certainly get back up again. Now, I think what these guys will also tell you is, sure, while everybody is clamoring for a sweep and wants a sweep against an A's team that, you know, got off to a pretty hot start this season but has struggled somewhat expectedly since then. I mean, they come in at 26-44. I think that everyone will tell you, hey, you can't win the second game, you can't win the third game in sweep until you win the first game, and I think that's the key tonight. I'm expecting a pretty big crowd tonight. You know, it's a Friday night, you know, summer game, you know, fireworks after the game. Most importantly, Alex Gordon's Royals Hall of Fame induction before the game. I think there's going to be a ton of juice in the building tonight. And if there's one thing that this team has shown the want to do, it is really put on a show when these fans come out and support them the way that they should. And so, yeah, I think this weekend, I think this week in particular, the White Sox and the Yankees was an unfortunate wake-up call of sorts of, hey, we're better than what we're showing right now. And I think everybody inside that clubhouse knows that. And I think now they have to go out and prove it against the A's this weekend.
Jake Eisenberg.
Oh, I was going to say, what'd you get your dad for Father's Day? You know, that was
say that again?
I said, what'd you get your dad for Father's Day?
So my parents are actually coming to town this weekend. My sister's coming in too. They should land, I don't know, sometime this afternoon. They're coming to the game. So got them tickets to all three games. Managed to line up some nice tickets for Saturday and Sunday too, especially. They're going to come up to the booth and get to see the behind the scenes action there. Got him a nice t-shirt, you know, and some other surprises. I don't know if he's listening, so I don't want to reveal everything.
There you go. Jake Eisenberg. Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. Take care, guys.
There you go. That's Jake Eisenberg. You'll hear him throughout the weekend here on 96.5. The Fan. Does the Royals welcome in the A's? Look,
it is a big series.
Yeah,
big series here for the next couple of weeks.
Well, let's separate two things too. There's the big series clearly just from a pure standing perspective.
Yeah.
You're already a game under 500 now. We all know it feels like things are slipping. Totally. That's the one reason. I also just think, I mean, we interact with you guys. We see the text line. We see Twitter and stuff. There's also, it's a big series if you want to try to make any fan still believe here a little bit based off of some of the reaction we're getting as well. So if you go out there and you don't win this series this weekend, and this team slips further below 500, then you think people are checked out now in terms of not believing? Wait till what happens this weekend if they don't take care of business. So, yeah, I think it's a massive weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. And yes, it's tough to any series to ask for a sweep, but a series win, that 100% has to be.
It's not asking too much.
100% the expectation this weekend.
The A's are just as bad as the White Sox, a team you didn't get the series win against last weekend. So, again, it's always what Jake said. Get the first one tonight. Feel good tonight. Get the Yankees series behind you. Get the win tonight. Alex Gordon being inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame. Feel good about yourself tonight. And then you get two more days this weekend in order to get the win. What is the pitching matchup tonight? Let's see. Have you looked yet?
I didn't.
Anybody going to the game tonight? Drew, you going to the game tonight? You've been to a Royals game.
Oh, yeah. I've been to plenty of them. I'm not going tonight, though.
Gold, you're not going tonight, are you? Michael Wacha versus Luis Severino.
I will not be out there this weekend. Got a busy weekend. Got some other stuff going on. So no, I was out there earlier this week, but I will not be there this weekend.
I will say it's a tough pitching as far as like it's not the – they're not rolling out the stars this weekend. Not that they don't – they go pretty deep in the pitching staff. But it's Wacha, Lorenzen, and Noah Cameron. So they're going to need Lorenzen to repeat his last outing and Noah Cameron to go back to the first five outings. And then obviously in order to do that, but like,
I know it's an oversimplification. I know it's an oversimplification. Like that's cool. You mentioned the pitchers.
Yeah,
that's cool and all,
it's
Cody.
It's gotta be hitting.
We all know the story here. Like that's great. That's cool.
I'm sure.
Look, Michael Wacha, I hope he pitches great tonight, but we all know that last night they got great pitching last night. Can't score a damn run. What was it? One for whatever against the Yankees this
one
entire
for
season.
I can't even honestly be bothered by Luis.
It's the offense, Lucas Hersig.
By Lucas Hersig.
Although seeing him throw the ball around like that was bad, man.
Vinny probably could have chosen not to go to first, but that play was close enough. I understand why he tried. But then Hersig attempting to throw the ball home after getting kind of stuck in no man's land and not throwing it quickly. But like, if you don't score one run, you can't even win the game anyway. So like,
I hear you.
Am I supposed to be like, you can't, you know?
But it adds to when you're already on edge and frustrated about how the team is playing, and then you see
him
throwing around the ball like it's a little league game, that'll get people upset, and they should be. I understand what you're saying, which is like, you're not going to score, then you can make all the errors and mistakes in the field all you want if you're not going to ever score. Totally get what you're saying, but man, it's stuff that honestly, like you see at very low levels, as in little league stuff.
I don't know if you guys first the Stanley Cup Finals have been incredible. Obviously, the game last night, they're down 3-0, they come back 5-4 in OT. There was a last set, you know, like a game tying one to send it to OT by the Panthers. Incredible, incredible work from the Stanley Cup Final. It brought me no pleasure because Cash Out Bro has been given life. And I don't want him to win. The arrogance.
Cody wants him to lose $270,000.
The arrogance of the video after the game. Oh, you guys rooting against me. Look at me. And you're just like, oh.
Well, he's all in. Literally all in.
I want him to lose so bad. Look, good for him, honestly, in the short term. That was definitely an excellent game. And he got life because if that game had gone the other way, he's cooked. So he's back in the game.
Yeah, he still needs three Thunder wins and two wins by the Oilers. So I wouldn't say he's in a great position, but he has some life. And it was an unbelievable hockey game. last night in the comeback from Edmonton just to get in this position. But we all know, like, I don't even, as I say, I don't care what the cash out offers are anymore. That doesn't matter. He is clearly.
Because I'll let it go if you still cash out.
He's never cashing out. He's never cashing out. So truly, all that matters now, he needs 3 Thunder wins, 2 Oilers wins. That's it. So they could even the series and all of a sudden the cash out offers $90,000. It doesn't matter. He obviously is not going to cash out. So it's just whether or not you think he can pick up 5 wins combined here.
Can I not still be the voice of reason and say,
sure,
one
but
more
he's not
time,
listen to you
one more time when they offer you the cash out effort, and I know it's going to be below probably the $123,000 or whatever. You were on the guillotine last night, man.
Yeah, it's too late for him.
You were already in trouble. Your team was down 3-0 to go down 3-1 in the series, and they did it. They made the miraculous comeback. Take the money. Just please, man.
Yeah, I agree, but
I'll let all this go. I'll stop making fun of you. All of this stuff. Just please. Please.
The video is not even him. It's like his other.
There's a video of him. It's harder to find, but it's
okay, because the video that
he's
I found
being
is
braggadocious, to say the least.
His bros are more excited than he is, I believe, in the video.
Oh, they were like, look, he had a little liquid courage last night, pounding shots. You could see they're having a good time. And look, the people around him are encouraging this behavior. Let's be very clear.
Well, the people around him interviewing him are from Bleacher Report. At this point, as I said, it's all very obvious.
I think he had his friends there. It wasn't his dad this time. It was his friends, it looked like.
It's just all very obvious now. He has no intention of ever cashing out. Now he's in it just to be in it. And he's in it for the clout, and he's in it for the coverage and the attention. And he's hoping still that a miracle happens here and he gets $270,000. If he loses, he's going to say, well, at least I got to do all this stuff. I agree with you, as we talked about a week ago, should have cashed out for $123,000, but he's already done that. And someone's saying he really only loses $13. That's just not, I don't think that's how this whole thing works. Yes, he made a $13 bet. I think that is the most optimistic, like, utopian way to look at it ever.
Should we all now go and make bets for the winners of, as soon as the NHL and NBA playoffs are done, should we go ahead and try to do this ourselves and bet at like $5?
Oh, five to win. I'll tell you right now, this show would have cashed out.
Oh, no, 100%. We would have.
Maybe for the show purposes, we wouldn't have cashed out at the $5,000, whatever you and I would have cashed out individually. But I can promise you, when that cash out offer of $90,000 came across the table for the three of us, we'd have sat on this show and said, hey, guys, we all appreciate your support. It's been a hell of a run. We'll be taking the money now. This show might be putting a 2-leg parlay at $10,000 on the 2 other things to still happen. It might be an $80,000 cash out, but we'll be cashing out now. We'll be taking our money. Mm. It's the brag. It's
definitely the braggadocious part of it that really can infuriate you.
Every,
I get it.
Every time he just like, Drew, I think you're with me too. It's just
That's why he's called cash out, bro. He's a 22-year-old kid that's acting like a 22-year-old kid. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it's infuriating. Infuriating. $13, man. $13. He could have had $123,000 and he still won't cash out.
Yeah.
How do you think he was feeling at 3-0? They sent out a video and he just slumped down.
He thought it was over. He thought it was over. And that's what's crazy about
hockey,
the ride.
You know?
The highs and lows this kid is on right now. He'll never be part of something
like
this. He
looked miserable as soon as the Panthers tied it up at.
He's shaving years off of his life. 4. Is that worth money, too? He's going to die 5 years younger because of the heart problems he's given himself.
I mean, he's enjoying the ride. I'll give him that. He's definitely on a hell of a ride right now. And it still has a chance to end in $270,000. But the cash-out stuff just doesn't matter anymore.
I got a 5-leg parlay
now
to win. 10 wins, $231,000.
But don't make this the don't turn into I want a state title in high school guy. And this is the only thing that matters for the rest of your life, okay? Take the cash, turn other things, have other cool moments, enjoy other experiences. You don't have to make this the only defining moment of your entire life.
And it could make it, like, if he doesn't cash out now, it might not get any better than it is right now.
I've seen a cash out offer today, have you?
It might not be any better.
It doesn't matter. He's not cashing out, so it doesn't matter. We're done with the cash out offer part. Doesn't matter. He's not taking it.
All right, guys. I've got a 10 for $231,000 right here that I'm not going to bet because I'm going to wait.
Wait, what? We you got a $10 bet for what?
No. I could have a 10 to win $230,000.
What are your champions?
New York Yankees.
Okay.
Houston men's basketball.
Okay.
New York Liberty are going to repeat.
I don't know anything about that. That's
WNBA.
Penn State to win the college football title. And I mean, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
You already screwed it up. If you took out Cincinnati,
it'd probably be like 10 to win $100. And instead, he's got a jacket.
If I took the Bengals out.
The odds on the last one.
Hang on. If I took the Bengals out and let me put the Chiefs in there and see what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
If I put the Chiefs in there, it turns into. I mean, I would only get $100,000.
Oh,
it literally
my
lowers
God.
It by 100.
That makes the joke so much better. You get an additional $130,000. Now, some of that we all know how sites work because you're adding an additional team.
Also, Houston's not winning the men's national title.
Yeah, they have everybody back except for one player.
They're not going to win.
Everybody's back.
They will not win. College basketball.
Who's going to be Kansas?
How often does the preseason favorite win in college?
They're not
basketball?
The preseason favorite, actually.
Second best odds, whatever.
Houston's not the favorite.
Yeah, but you're not going to win this bet for multiple reasons. Two of them right away are a big problem.
Yankees haven't won a World Series.
I want to bet Houston right now, just for the sake of when they make it to the Final Four, I will cash out.
Hedge.
Just single-handedly.
Yeah, the college basketball tournament's such a crapshoot. It usually just doesn't work that way.
Man, betting.
This past year was rare, right? That's what we talked about, how there was four number ones that made it and how that's a unique thing.
They made it
to
the Final Four three out of the last 4 years, I think, Houston.
And they haven't been able to get it done. That's the problem.
They're due.
Yeah. All right. Up next.
Purdue is the favorite, by the way.
Up next. Really? Purdue is? Interesting.
KU's not even.
Definitely not betting on Matt Painter to get it done.
Michigan is the same. KU's with Kentucky and Michigan and St. John's.
Yeah, and I wouldn't bet on Kansas to win it next year either. Up next, let's get back into the Royals offense and the runners in scoring position issue. Plus, Mayor Q was on with CDOT yesterday. His confidence level in getting the stadium deals done in KCMO.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.